Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were guys, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Welcome into the show. It was a night last night of, depending on how you feel about the Rockets, a big win. They beat the Grizzlies in Memphis, a healthy Grizzlies team. We talked about it yesterday, the game time decisions. A lot of the Grizzlies rotation pieces were game time decisions. For the most part, they all played. And it was a typical Rockets game in the sense that they played in a manner that, at least in certain parts, like, wow, this team's really good. And then they do things to let another team back in the game. Some turnovers late, let the Grizzlies back in. But they made enough plays to win that one. So they go on to Memphis and get a big regular season win. A lot of talk was, at least this season, this week, was the Cavs Thunder because of the teams on these long winning streaks. And they both were 30-plus win teams, and the Cavs won that one. They won last night in Toronto to keep their long winning streak alive. But the Rockets are probably – I don't think anyone looks at them as a contender, even though they are the two seed. They are in that mode of, we're not really sure what they are as a playoff team, but they're right now a damn good regular season team. So they got a damn good regular season win in Memphis last night. So we'll talk more about that going forward. But maybe a lot of the focus was on the CFP. And it was an entertaining game, and a lot of these games do this in the fourth quarter where there are defensive struggles and all of a sudden all hell breaks loose, whether it be turnover setting up points or guys wearing down on defense and big plays starting to happen. That's kind of how things went after Notre Dame got back in it with their touchdown coming out of the half. They tie that game at 10, and then you got a little slumber, and then it just picked up in the fourth quarter. They win, and I was conflicted, I got to admit. I have a long history of rooting against Notre Dame, but then I have a more recent agenda of not believing in James Franklin. So one of those things came to fruition. The James Franklin slander can continue. Maybe I should throw some slander at Greg McElroy, too. I don't mind that either. If you missed it, you're not alone, because apparently Greg McElroy missed Drew Aller's performance leading up until his ridiculous comment. Did he not see that Drew Aller had two picks taken off the board by defensive penalties? So I'm setting that up for you right now. There are two awful throws that should have been picks that weren't because of defensive pass interference and defensive holding calls that negated those penalties, both in the red zone, by the way. Those picks would have taken points off the board for Penn State. Okay, that's the setup. Now it's 24-24. It's a back-and-forth game in the fourth quarter. Penn State has the ball with about 40 seconds to go. They run the ball on their first play. But before that play, coming off the sideline with the ball, Greg McElroy said something egregious. And if you missed it, Drew Aller pretty much invalidated everything he said within a minute. So here's that sequence of events that led to Greg McElroy looking really silly moments later.
How do they play it with 47 seconds to go? Are you aggressive or are you cautious?
I'm aggressive. I mean, I got two timeouts. I feel like the momentum's been back and forth. The quarterback, part all season long, his whole career, Drew Aller's made good decisions. He's got 50 plus touchdowns, only 9 career interceptions. He's not likely actually a guy that's going to put the ball in harm's way. I trust him. I think he can do it. And I would empower him in this situation to drive him down the field for a game-winning field goal.
1 minute later.
As long as 49. Aller hit as he throws! And it is intercepted! Christian Gray picks it off!
And it wasn't just simply, oh, great play by the defender. It was nice play on the ball. It was an awful decision. He's fading to his left. Just throw the ball out of bounds. He throws back across his body. He's nowhere near the target. The receiver had no chance to make the player break it up. It was the cardinal sin. Don't throw late across your body. Well, maybe not across his body per se, but he was fading away. Don't throw late across the middle. He did it. It led to a pick. It led to Notre Dame bleeding the clock and, I don't know, maybe they picked up 10 to 12 yards and kicked a field goal to win it. Greg McElroy, the problem isn't that Drew Aller invalidated your thought. Okay, all those stats you quoted, cool. They're right. You can look at his 2023 and 2024 box scores and look at his stats and say, okay, he doesn't throw picks. But the game you were watching, the game where he nearly threw, or actually did throw the picks, they were just taken off the board, he was timid all night. He was not a confident thrower. The problem is James Franklin believed the same thing that Greg McElroy did. Greg McElroy is an analyst who got it wrong. James Franklin is the coach who watched his quarterback play poorly throughout, and the reason they were in that game is because of their running game and Abdul Carter wreaking havoc on the defensive side of the ball. You don't trust Drew Aller there. He was not playing like a player that would have made the correct decision. He was a player who knew probably he hadn't played well. It was late. Nothing's open. Let me see if I can make a play. In a dream world, your initial call is the one that works, so he's not put in that position. But I was not trusting Drew Aller there. James Franklin shouldn't have. And you know what? Hand the ball off to Singleton. If he breaks run one that puts you in the field goal range, great, because he already broke off one for 13 yards on the first play. Maybe he breaks off another one. But I'm not trusting a quarterback who played timidly throughout, and it cost Penn State a chance at a championship game appearance versus either Texas or Ohio State. We'll find out who will face Notre Dame tonight. Sometimes it's as simple as don't make the mistakes. Hell, Riley Leonard wasn't great. He threw a couple picks. He threw one, an awful one, in the second half that set Penn State up for a score. But anything from that game, if anything you could take away from it, was Drew Aller was not ready for that moment. He wasn't ready for the game. And Penn State goes down. So, Sean, while Notre Dame is in the title game, and I don't have any love for them, I don't know exactly how you feel about them, I will take my agenda living on when it comes to James Franklin and Drew Aller, because we have been going at their head since the start of the football season. And it took a while. It did take a while, but we finally got to be validated in our opinions. They are who we kind of said they were, and it showed up again. What's the stat for James Franklin against Marcus Freeman when it comes to top wins?
Marcus Freeman has more top five wins in the last 8 days than James Franklin does in his Penn State tenure. Probably his Vanderbilt tenure too.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
I'm not holding that against him.
Yeah, it's Vanderbilt. He did what he could, and he catapulted himself into the Penn State job, but. He is who he is.
We were proven right. Like they, yes. And by the way, they made the semifinals. We were proven right.
And by the way, you saw that Notre Dame team out there. That's not them in their full form. They're really beat up. Hell, Jeremiah Love. You saw the knee brace on him. He still made plays. That was a game against a beat up team who apparently we found out was very sick when it came to their backups and special teams players. We found that out. That's a game you should win, Penn State. You win that game. Abdul Carter fought through being banged up and just wrecked Notre Dame. They lost our offensive lineman in the game.
Yeah, they lost their starting quarterback in the game. You're up 10-0, and Riley Leonard got an asymptomatic concussion.
Yeah, and then Steve Angeli, the backup, drove down the field for a field goal that kind of turned the momentum. And as I said early on in the segment, Notre Dame came out at halftime and scored a touchdown. All of a sudden, Penn State didn't touch the ball and for any game reasonable time. Amount of time because they just – I think they might have just kneeled down. Or the field goal closed out the first half.
Field goal closed out the first
half. So it was the final play of the first half. So Penn State goes up 10-0. and doesn't touch the ball again until they're down, or excuse me, tied at 10. And then they had a bad possession, and Notre Dame actually took the lead in the game. So I appreciate you, James Franklin. Sometimes you like to be right. I appreciate you, Drew Aller. I like to be right sometimes.
Drew Aller. Drew Aller. NFL begging, Greg, begging Drew Aller to come out in the draft.
And the story, they told the story, McElroy and Sean McDonough, about talking to Drew Aller, and they referenced that he told, you know, he told the world he wasn't going to enter the draft. And then when they asked him again about it, he said, you know what? They told us he hasn't, he wouldn't confirm one way or the other where, which side he was leaning. So apparently he was a little open to maybe going back on his decision and entering the draft. There ain't nothing about what he did last night that says go be an NFL draft pick. That was terrible. But someone had to be right. Turns out it was us.
Us.
Turns out it was us.
Also, and this is actually not 100% on Drew Aller. This is more about Penn State itself and perhaps why we didn't take Penn State all that seriously.
Sure.
Dell, how many completions do you think Drew Aller had to wide receivers last night?
Oh, I know the answer.
It was as many as we did.
Yes. If you had somehow convinced people to play me at quarterback last night, I would have completed as many passes. In fact, I would have called for a bubble screen just to beat Drew Aller's number. I get it out
it's
there.
It's not hard to complete one pass to a wide receiver.
I know Penn State doesn't have great wide receivers. We're going to see great wide receivers tonight. Last night's game wasn't full of really good wide receiver play. The biggest play a wide receiver made was when a Penn State defender slipped and then another one couldn't tackle in the open field. But other than that, there wasn't a lot of great wide receiver play. But in a game or in a with a program who I have criticized quite a bit and saying the difference between Notre Dame and others is the fact that their wide receivers don't match up. Notre Dame had clearly the better wide receivers, or at least on the night, a quarterback who would actually get them the football from time to time. Drew Aller could not. Look, Penn State, Notre Dame, very good football game, but it is the undercard tonight. Now, Ohio State may blow out Texas. That is the way some people feel because of the way Ohio State has played. But if we're talking about man for man, outside weapons, talent on each side of the ball, it's clearly the game tonight when we talk about wide receiver play. Now how it plays out, we'll find out
In hours. I'll take the Prize Picks over one half completion to wide receiver for both quarterbacks tonight.
Yes, that
like in
is
the first quarter.
That is something you can pretty much bank on. Hell, Steve Angeli in a drive. He completed more passes to a wide receiver than Drew Aller did. Forget about us.
I honestly saw Steve Angeli before the half, and I was a little bit like, I think Riley Leonard should prioritize his health. I think he should prioritize.
If you're a Notre Dame fan, you probably would have thought that
His life 40 years from now than this game.
It was only one drive.
The first time anyone was able to throw the ball all night.
Yeah, it was only one drive. I don't know if Steve Angeli had to play throughout, if Notre Dame's offense could have sustained on him dropping back the pass and not using Riley Leonard's legs, which was very important in that second half. But it looked like one quarterback was ready for the moment to throw the football, and it wasn't either one of the starters. Steve Angeli, the biggest drive in Notre Dame season. If they go in down 10-0, who knows how they come out of the half? But they came out of the half great and led to a very entertaining second half. Penn State comes out on the short end, and Notre Dame playing for a national title. Look, I've said they're like Turkey. I didn't see anything different from what I think about Notre Dame. It just so happens that they found a way, thanks to James Franklin and Drew Aller. But credit to them. Notre Dame is banged up. They fought. Marcus Freeman, I remember listening to a podcast after they lost to Northern Illinois because I like Schadenfreude. I want to listen to Notre Dame people lose their minds.
I remember you telling me.
Yeah, and they were like, he's lost. I think it's something. They were talking about like the three score favorite losses that he's had.
Yeah, he's lost to like Marshall.
Yeah, compared
Stanford
to others. And you know, Brian Kelly left Notre Dame because he said he wanted to go to a place with the resources to possibly win a national title. Now, this is, of course, a coach who played in the title game in the very same stadium against Alabama for Notre and coached Notre Dame. He didn't play. He coached Notre Dame in that game, and they got their ass kicked.
He
would have been better off. Notre Dame doesn't have a lot of luck down there, whether they're playing a Miami team in the 80s or the Miami team they played in 2017 or the Alabama team they played for the national title. Notre Dame going down to that part of the country, they generally lose and lose really really embarrassingly. Not last night, thanks to Franklin and Aller, broke that curse. As much as I want to continue to rip Penn State, I give all the credit for Notre Dame for finding a way. They fought through a lot to win that game.
They did, yeah. It's something where on the field, neither team was like super impressive. Like, it's the opposite of the Ohio State-Oregon game where you come out of it and you're like, oh my God, Ohio State. This is like the opposite of that, where both these teams are like, all right. But you do have to give Notre Dame credit for, like, you could tell that they are a team that is shorthanded. They just like found ways to win, to string together drives. And even after the interception, like, they still needed two first downs basically to get it. And
their kicker hadn't been great all year. Now he had turned it around, but he had not been great all year. So 41, they probably weren't that sure he would make it, but he did. Another guy stepping up to win that game.
Hmm. But since that NIL deal,
I'm sure it's going to change now. He's a legend.
Get Bert Auburn's.
Bert Auburn was paid handsomely.
I remember a guy who missed 38 yard.
I'm sure you do. You'll see that guy tonight. Hopefully, kicking extra points only. Hopefully.
Apparently, Steve Sarkisian is going to see how the kicker's looking warm-ups.
Okay, sure.
I'm just saying what the man said.
I know what he said, but I'm predicting Bert Auburn's going to run out there for at least the first field goal. If he misses, then we might have a conversation. I'm going to see what they look like. You would need warm-ups in the semifinal.
Such a small sample size.
Yeah. To change your mind.
It's been, what, a week?
Yeah, you had a full week of practice to figure these things out. I guess he's a field coach, and if Bert Auburn looks bad going against Snow Rush and your inexperienced kicker looks great going against Snow Rush, you'll pick the inexperienced kicker. Yeah, that's generally how coaches treat specialists. Okay.
It's national semifinal.
Yeah, I'm going to let warm-ups decide. I appreciate the drama you're trying to create, but I don't buy it. I don't buy it at all. But we will see tonight. Texas, Ohio State will have the game here on ESPN 97.5. It is supposed to be the glamour semifinal. It's going to be tough to match up to the drama that we saw last night in the Orange Bowl. But the Cotton Bowl will be the host. Jerry will be the host. His building will host that game. And we will see. Texas, a decided underdog. Not a lot of people believe in them. Us against the world, as the Longhorns would say. And Sean's ready to go. He's got his USC Texas Rose Bowl hat on, got his Texas hoodie on. It's time. It's about that time. He did not break out the Bevo headgear. That'll come on Monday, right?
Monday.
If they win.
Job's not finished.
Oh, it doesn't come out until you win a national title.
Is job finished? Job's not finished.
No. Yes.
I'll also play that Kobe Bryant clip. And so will half of the Texas football roster. They'll put that as their Instagram story.
The worst thing about social media for me now is latching on to things that have nothing to do with you, and everyone going, nah, I got that Mamba mentality. Cut it out.
Cut out Colin Simmons.
Yeah, cut it out.
You're a great player. You're 19 years old.
Stop with the Mamba mentality. All right. Would Kobe ever take a shot at the opposing player during the middle of the game on social media like you did Colin Simmons and it almost came back to haunt you? No. When Kobe was going for 81, he didn't tweet out a picture or Instagram picture of Jalen Rose at halftime because it wasn't possible. But if it was, he wouldn't do it. Okay, segment one over. We'll get to the Rockets. We'll hear from Ime Udoka. Fred VanVleet had a good game last night. People have questioned why the guy who can't shoot gets so many minutes. Well, Ime will tell you why that is when we come back.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Michael Carroll, who you heard there, will join us around 11:30. I was in his production studio recording some commercials. His patience with me, I appreciate. Oof, it was a rough rough recording session for me, but he brought up after we were done on call. It's on Amazon Prime. It's a cop show. And if you've ever seen End of Watch, it's kind of shot that way. The one with, I think it was Michael Pena and Jake Gyllenhaal. It's a series that you can watch. It's pretty good. It got me a little bit because it's based in Long Beach, and that's where I grew up. So On Call on Amazon Prime. We'll probably talk about that a little bit when Michael Carroll joins us at 11:30. So be aware. There's going to be a little bit more stuff to recommend than what was last week, according to Michael.
There's at least one movie that I'm excited for that comes out.
Den of Thieves?
Two, Pantera, yes.
Den of Thieves 2, Pantera, yes.
I don't know why it's called 2, Pantera.
We'll find out. They'll probably do the thing where they say the name of the movie in the movie. And then we can point. They said did the thing. Joe George is here.
What do you listen to? Pantera.
Something like that.
Is that how they'll do it?
I hope not. That'd be terrible. Joe George is here. I see Joe George in there, excited.
Well, he just
He just left. But he's pretty excited.
He didn't storm out, but he walked out.
Notre Dame fan Joe George.
Oh, because someone started talking to him.
So. He will be able to watch his team play for a national title. That's a good feeling. And maybe it'll be against Texas. We'll find out tonight.
I don't think it is a good feeling.
To play for a national title?
It's stressful. It is.
That's true. I can't even fight it.
I have not gotten the... Maybe it's just the two that I got to watch my team play in that were very stressful for two different reasons. It's not fun.
But the immediate exhilaration after winning the game, relief, the exhilaration,
100%. I'm still guarded. So I'm not. I don't know how. Maybe it's 9 hours from now when the game actually kicks off, it'll be different. But I don't know how nervous I'll be. I think I'll be nervous as to not get blown out. I just don't want it to be immediately over.
Yeah,
I don't want to be Oregon.
That first couple drives, you can get a stop, force a three and out, whatever it is.
Score on the first possession.
Or whatever it is.
Scripted drive.
That would help. But just settle in. You go, okay, we can play with them. Once you get the vibe that you can play with them, then you'll be okay.
Yeah.
I understand going in and thinking, oh, no, they are so good.
I just don't want to immediately be food. Don't want to immediately.
When you are the underdog, even when you're Texas, you just want to walk in there and go, okay, our guys can play with them. We recruit great, too. What are we talking about?
We're paid to play football, too.
So you'll settle in, they'll settle in, and then it's just football, and we'll see how it plays out. Yeah, getting jumped on early like Oregon did, the worst feeling, because at that point, forget about it. It's wrapped up. We're not coming back. It's just... Yeah. Like another 3 hours of misery.
I was gonna meet some friends for food after the Texas game. Which, by the way, I was barely hungry after the Texas game. Mm-hmm. Talk about not having fun watching your team win. So I was playing it out. I was I have to leave at halftime of the Oregon Ohio State game. I was I might be a little late. Whatever. Ohio State went up the third touchdown. I was okay, I can just leave now and be on time. I don't need to stick around for this. This is wholly uncompetitive. I don't want that.
Exactly.
I don't want that life.
You don't want to be.
I want to be competitive. Be competitive.
All we're asking for, and then we can actually have a real ball game. So that'll be tonight.
Quinn Ewers, play well enough to where I can still make fun of Drew Aller, please.
That is a problem when you're so outspoken about another team's quarterback, and then you have to worry about your own.
I think I've made my feelings on him clear, but I do think that he's better than Drew Aller.
He is better than Drew Aller. No matter what it looks like tonight, ahead of myself.
No, yeah, but easy.
I don't think he will approach tonight's game like Drew Aller did, where he was scared to throw the football. Now, Quinn may miss throws. He may, throw the ball into someone's hands, but Drew Aller went out there – I don't want to say he played scared, but he had a timid approach to that game. He pulled the string on a lot of throws. He didn't just let it go. And the one time he did let it go was that final throw of the game, and it was an awful decision. So it was the worst of both worlds for the Penn State quarterback. We will see what your quarterback does against Will Howard. Imagine you're entering a game thinking Will Howard is going to outplay your quarterback. Is that a good feeling?
No.
No, it's not. We remember Big 12 Will Howard.
I do. I do. I No, I was not in school when Will Howard was the K-State quarterback. Close, though. Skylar Thompson, who's the same guy.
Yeah. K-State does have...
The same guy?
Yeah. They're like kind of like Iowa, Wisconsin. Wisconsin, they had the one Russell Wilson year. But other than that, it's pretty much the same guy.
He was different for a couple reasons.
Yeah. Mostly because he was going to be a legit pro as opposed to their other quarterbacks. Yeah. You guys can figure out the other reason. And then Iowa's the same. And K-State's been that vibe too. Colin Klein brought a different vibe to it. But for the most part, they're all the same dude. We will see if that dude putting on Ohio State uniform can beat Texas, because he never could when he was at K-State.
Hell
okay.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Lean on that.
0-4, lifetime against Texas.
He's your Chris Ricks, if you remember that name. He could never beat Miami. He didn't get the chance to transfer to see if he could do it someplace else. We will see if Will Howard pulls the remarkable losing to the same team 5 times in a career. It's tough to do, even in the COVID era.
Also remarkable that it was Texas 5 times.
That version of Texas, yeah.
Yeah, they
at least Chris Ricks was doing it to a Miami team was competing for national titles when he was there.
It was one. It was the last Tom Herman team and the first Sarkisian team that went 5-7.
Yeah, and still Will Howard, no chance. We will see.
And Malik Murphy. God.
It's not helping his case.
Did he lose the Hudson card, too?
Yeah, but he didn't have Jeremiah Smith at K-State. It's a little different for him.
Should Jeremiah Smith hold out and immediately go into the draft? I think he should.
For 2 more seasons?
Yes.
No.
At least for tonight. Just protect himself.
Oh, okay. Now I get what you're doing. I was like, what is he talking about? Oh, now.
Just opt out. That's all I'm saying.
Ask for a bigger bag for this game, and if they don't give it to you, don't play. Prove your worth.
He could hold the team hostage right now.
Yeah, but it would get out.
He should do it.
It would go poorly for him, and the rest of his life
I would love him forever if he did.
He would have to transfer immediately because the Ohio State people would run him out of town.
Transfer to Texas.
They got money to spend. Apparently, so does some school in South Florida, but they're going to spend it on Carson Beck. Cool.
Well, that's so he can be closer to his girlfriend.
Yeah, but he's not doing it for free. Still going to pay him like $2.5 to $3 million.
I know.
Unfortunately. All right, let's get to the Rockets thing before we get the break. The Rockets get a nice win last night. Jalen Green, the month of January, it's ramping up to be his month of March from last year. Another good performance for Jalen Green. Turnovers laid aside, but they found a way to get it done. They beat that Memphis team in a really competitive game where every time the Rockets felt like they were getting a little distance, Memphis would fight back. Letting the likes of Santi Aldama and others make plays. It's not only him, but some players, when they make plays against you, it's infuriating. We saw what Amen Thompson did to Tyler Hero. He was infuriated by the fact that this guy was going to beat him. No one got tossed to the floor in the game last night, but it was competitive. They were going at it, and the Rockets found a way, which is, I think, the way they're going to win games in the playoffs. They're going to be scrappy. They're going to go on runs because of their defense and their ability to get out and even just cause chaos on the offensive end of the floor. Offensive rebounds, that's their formula. And if they're going to knock down shots like Jalen Green did, it's very tough to beat them. Look, they can win with defense, but if Jalen Green's going to be efficiently knocking down jump shots, that team is tough to deal with, and they were last night. But a player who's not shot the ball well really the entire year has been Fred VanVleet. There have been questions for people about why is this guy playing, and the answer, the obvious one, is Ime loves a veteran, loves what Fred VanVleet does. Here's Ime Udoka answering about Fred VanVleet and what he provides.
Fred has said quite a few times, you know, he didn't come here to be the offensive engine to this team, but, you know, how good is it to have a guy who can make clutch shots at the end of a game like that?
Yeah, it's not just that. It's handle the ball and get a shot and get it to the right person. You know, you trust him. He's obviously one of the best in the league at assist to turnover ratio. And we had those turnovers late in the game that gave them the opportunity to kind of claw back into it. And he obviously made the shot, but he's going to make the right read every time. So good to have a steady hand to slow it down and know you're going to get a quality shot at least.
Ime Udoka last night after the Rockets win over the Grizzlies. And that's pretty simple. You don't have a lot of guys with experience closing out games that are important. Fred is one of those guys. I'm not just talking about being in the finals. Hell, he played better than this, but ranking the tiers of Raptors at the time, you're talking, what, fourth Raptor when you have Kawhi. Siakam was coming in to to being a really good player.
Lowry.
You had Lowry as well, who had a good series. Fred made big shots in that series, definitely. But he was probably the fourth most important player.
Yeah, he was the sixth man on the
team. So it's a little different, but it's not just about that finals run. He's just an experienced, steady hand, and even when the shot's not going down, he had a good night shooting the ball last night. He can be depended on. Doesn't turn the ball over a lot. Did have some turnovers last night, but his turnover ratio is like 4+1. So you understand why Ime is going to keep playing him out there no matter how he's shooting the basketball. He's going to get the guys, hopefully, in a spot where they're going to be able to get a good shot. Doesn't always happen, but there are no better options, at least in my eyes, when they're trying to play in the half court. If they could play every crunch time situation up and down the floor, then maybe Fred VanVleet isn't a guy I would lean on, but that's not how it goes, and that's not how the playoffs will go. So he's needed, and he was big last night. As I mentioned, Jalen Green, the 27 points on 21 shots, it's a lot, but hell, he was over 50%, 4 of 8 from 3, 50% there. Just a big-time performance. And, of course, Alperen with a 32 and 14. They had no answers for him, whether it be the shot fakes, using his quickness against bigger guys like Zach Edey. He was a force last night, one of his better games of the season, and he did it against a really good team on the road. So Rockets continuing to show that they're going to be a problem. They're going to be a team no matter what, as long as the injuries don't keep piling up, because Jabari's out for a while and there's some questions about whether he's going to have surgery or they're going to try to let that just heal, and that'll determine how long he's actually out. Of course, Tari didn't play again, but they have enough depth. And that was one of the, as I think Sean pointed it out, he's pointed out a couple of times, that their depth will be a benefit, not just their youth, their ability to play different guys, because at some point in all NBA seasons for all teams, guys are going to go down. It's just how it is. The Rockets have enough to lose, or at least to not have, you would say, two of their top eight guys and still handle the Grizzlies on the road. Like, think about who they didn't have. Tari is a prime contributor off the bench. Jabari has been your starting four the entire year, at least when he's healthy. And they look just fine against the Grizzlies team, who were getting guys back and played pretty much at full strength. They didn't have GG Jackson, who was a revelation last year as a young player. He's not around. He's going to be out for a while. Marcus Smart as well, out. But they had Bane, they had Morant, they had Jaren Jackson, and Brandon Clark was playing too. And still, Rockets get the win. Credit to them. Credit to Ime for what he's done. And you got a good team here, which is nice. We haven't been able to say that for about 4 years. They were interesting last year, but they're just a flat-out good team. And hopefully they'll continue to build good habits, and we'll see how that turns out in the playoffs. So Rockets, 119-115, firmly in the two seed. And more than that.
Southwest Division champs.
Sure. More than that.
T-shirts.
More than that. I don't know if those will get made.
Doesn't matter, Dell. Southwest champs.
Is Ime going to pull a Bill O'Brien? I don't think so. But more than that, whether they're the two, the three, or whatever, they're in real prime position to at least have home court in the first round, which is big for them, considering where they came from. So, nice game for the Rockets last night. We will hear from a really amped-up special teams coach for the Texans. Frank Ross is their special teams coach. We'll hear from him when we come back. The Texans have a game, by the way. Chargers-Texans. We had, for some reason, Charger fans call into the morning show when we were trying to get people excited about the game. The people who were most excited were Charger fans. I don't know how that played out, where maybe they came to town and they wanted to hear sports talk. What are the local people talking about? And we didn't even get the Texans Chargers show about 8:20. So they're probably a little disappointed. But when we got to actually trying to get people excited, Charger fans took over and pretty much told us. My favorite line was, it's going to be Chargers 27-0. Maybe you guys get a safety. So either that's a Texans fan trolling or a Charger fan who knows about his opponent maybe they'll get a safety.
I mean, like 50 million people watch that. So
it's true. But to pull it out with the pressure on you.
Yeah, no, it was a good job.
Not bad.
Good job, Chargers fans.
Hopefully
Justin Herbert has that same composure when NRG's rocking. He's going to have flashbacks of Everbank Field.
Second half of that game.
Yeah, the second half of the Jags game.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully. That would be nice, but let's start it in the first half. The stress of the Texans being down like 27-0, I'm not looking for that.
I don't think it would be stress. I think it would be a click.
It's, well, Yeah, I don't know why I'm lying.
All right, yeah, let me go on my phone and buy a ticket to Genethese to Pantera.
Good point. I don't know why I'm lying with this microphone in my face. If it's like 27-0, the stress will be gone. I'll be perplexed, surprised, but probably not stressed. Frank Ross ain't stressed. He's ready to go. We'll hear from him mostly because of how excited he is about his team and his unit. We'll hear from Frank Ross, the Texans special team coach, when we come back.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Texas Chargers on Saturday. We had a discussion yesterday, and that's up on our YouTube page. Actually, all the social media. You can find a clip of it on Instagram. I think it was put up on Twitter. Will this be Bobby Slowick's last game? And the conclusion for us was it kind of depends on how it goes. We're not going to say he's fired just because they lose. If it's a normal offensive performance, D'Amico will probably keep him around. We will see how that plays out. But a guy who's not under any fire is Frank Ross. Frank Ross is your special teams coach. The Texans, Kyme Fairbairn, good kicker, maybe even great. They're pretty good covering kicks, and they got some juice in the return game from time to time. So Frank Ross is just fine. Here's Frank Ross taking a bit of a shot at Matt Burke as he has his media availability open up.
So I should have told Burke to pick it up a little bit because he a little monotone over here. So I hope that we start our football game on Saturday just with reckless abandon and intensity that the whole stadium feels our special teams play. That's the goal. That's the hope. Set the tone for intensity as we get on our wild card playoff football. So, I want to just mention real quick the year, a little bit of retrospect from the year of regular season. Proud of just the overall leadership of the room. Dare, like, I hope everybody understands, like, anybody can coach that group. Anybody. Dare, Neville, Delshawn coming to the fold, the three specialists. MJ is the personal protector. Henry, Jake Hansen, guys coming up to me from other teams saying, hey, man, 35's doing a heck of a job. So proud of those guys and excited to watch them because they've earned the opportunity to play good football. They have to go earn playing good football on Saturday, but just super proud of those guys. So thanks for letting me share that.
Frank.
To the Chargers.
Frank Ross wants his unit to bring the energy. And a special teams hit can change the early momentum. So I don't mind that approach. If you're kicking off to start that game and you lay someone out, the vibes will be high. Your defense, your strongest unit gets out on that field. That's a good way to start.
I don't like that he's doing the end of season shout outs.
Oh, you think he doesn't think he'll have another opportunity?
Yeah, well, you definitely will, because they do have the end of season when they clean out the lockers like that.
Will Frank Ross be asked to speak? Do they get to the special teams coach in that moment?
Ooh, that's actually a good point. Maybe they won't. Either way, I don't like
feel like you're,
the season's over.
You're inviting.
Let's talk.
You're inviting doom by taking that approach.
We have to play in the Texas Bowl, but first let's shout out the personal protectors.
Well, it is in the same building.
I know. And it is actually kind of the Texans Bowl because it's
that time of the day,
3:30 on a Saturday.
Yeah, it is the Texans slot for playoff football, wild card weekend, and they're at it again.
I'm going to be disappointed if they ever play like a primetime wild card weekend game.
Yeah,
I'm just like, I don't want this.
Yeah, it's ours. This is what we
like. This
have.
Is like, I don't know. Maybe this is the first year where I'm just like, actually, this is awesome that they play Saturday at this time.
Yeah, the Texans haven't really put their stamp on the NFL since they've been in existence, but
not even
this is something
bit.
they have cornered the market on.
Yeah, they're 5-2 in this spot.
They're pretty much dominant. The best moment in Texans history, in my eyes, is that pick by JJ in their first playoff game in this moment.
Yeah.
On that Saturday, that first game.
At like 5 o'clock in the afternoon by the time that happened, yeah.
2011, I think.
Yeah. Oh, January 2012. But.
It was 2012, right?
It was the 2011 season.
2012 yeah. playoffs. Yeah. So we will see if a moment like that gets duplicated. But before we go to break, there's some news about a quarterback who played in a couple of those games. What? Hit the horn, Sean.
Oh, yeah. You told me to get the horn ready. It wasn't ready. I'm sorry.
That's fine. Why am I asking Sean hit the horn? Because Deshaun Watson has ruptured his Achilles again. So earlier this week when Andrew Berry was talking about how Deshaun suffered another setback and we got the jokes off because we saw him dancing with his girlfriend on TikTok, I can't say that that led to the setback, but the setback after further testing is a ruptured Achilles. So there wasn't much hope or even real thought that Deshaun was going to be ready to start this upcoming year because of the setback. Well, now it's a full-on rehab. We got some real questions of whether he plays another down in the NFL again, right? I think it's a real possibility. I didn't really pay much attention to that talk leading up to the news from Andrew Berry, but now that we have what we have and we know what it is, I mean, why would the Browns welcome him back to play when they likely have to draft the quarterback now? Like, you could convince yourself, even if he comes back like week five, we will try to get an established backup who won't screw up. Maybe we can find our way to dance at 2 and 3 before he comes back. Now, you're drafting a quarterback. So which quarterback is going to be punished by being drafted by the Browns? You know that career is over before it begins. Or at least you have to get out of there pretty quickly, and hopefully they don't ruin you. Like Baker Mayfield would be the example of a guy who got out, found his way back, and now is starting in the playoffs. Which quarterback is most likely to be ruined by the Browns? Where are they in the pecking order for the draft?
I think they have either the second or third pick, somewhere in there.
Let's see.
Probably second.
Go to trusty Tankathon, and their top two picks are quarterbacks. They have, unfortunately for my guy, they have Shedeur Sanders going to the Titans and Cam Ward going to the Browns. I only had a chance to watch Cam quarterback my team for one season, but I'm hoping against hope that the Browns don't take him or the Titans do take him, because I don't want Cam Ward ruined by the Browns. He's got no shot, right? No shot of elevating that franchise. I mean, even what Joe Burrow did for the Bengals, at least the Bengals had Andy Dalton and won and got the playoff game. So we know they've been capable in the modern times of doing something with the quarterback and not completely ruining him. What have the Browns done? Who has a shot? Think of a Browns quarterback who did anything since you understood football. Like, you weren't alive for Bernie Kosar.
No.
I was, but I was a toddler.
Didn't they have one good year with, was it Anderson?
Derek Anderson, vagabond. Anderson
had one good year.
Yeah, didn't even make the playoffs that year.
Oh, Hoyer was pretty good in, 2014, 2013?
They didn't make the playoffs.
They didn't make the playoffs. I'm just going with
guys who might have had a flash in the pan.
How low the bar is quarterbacks that were kind of good for one year.
That's my point. It's a very low bar.
Charlie Fry?
No. Charlie Batch, even.
Charlie Batch.
I think he was a Brown. Maybe.
Probably.
Spurgeon
I'll
Wynn,
the
I know,
jersey.
Was a Brown.
I'll
I know.
Oh, maybe I was thinking of that guy. I think I was thinking of Wynn.
Fry has been a Brown. Wynn has been a Brown. I'm not sure if Charlie Batch played for the Browns. But you know it didn't go well for him if he did.
No.
He was a Brown.
Of course.
And, of course, it didn't go. Ty Detmer didn't go well for him. It doesn't go well. So I don't know if you have any stock in quarterbacks. Maybe you're talking to your friends about who the best quarterback in the draft will be in a bad quarterback draft. One of them is in line to be taken by the Browns.
I don't think they should take a quarterback.
I don't either.
Not even to protect young men.
I don't really care about Shedeur Sanders that much. I'm not rooting for bad things to happen to him. But yeah, for their sakes,
Deion's not letting him go to Cleveland.
He cares that they go to the Titans. He reacted to Rand Carthon being fired with the eye emoji thing.
Okay.
So is Deion willing to have and probably doesn't matter to him. It's not like Shador's hurting for money. He's willing to have him drop out of the top five
or try to have someone
trade up.
I think the Browns should trade back. I think they should trade back, and because if you get the young quarterback, and let's say it's a hit, let's say they draft Cam Ward number two, and he's awesome.
Don't even say it.
They can't. And he's awesome. They can't even do the what the Texans did and like build around him and get pieces or veteran pieces around him because that they are paying Deshaun Watson $60 million not to play. And they're already paying Myles Garrett.
Which they recently
that's a good contract, but still, you're not going to be able. They dumped Amari Cooper. Like they can't pay an offense to stick around him. Why would you drop a quarterback into this position?
Ask the Patriots. Now they didn't have financial concerns, but they did drop a quarterback into a bad position. They wanted Jacoby Brissett to take all those hits and the punishment, and then they said, okay, this is untenable.
Yeah, but now the Patriots have a lot of cap space. They can make something. They can get a receiver. They can rebuild their offensive line. There's no way the Browns are going to be able to do that anytime soon. Like I would just try to get as many picks as you can and do the thing that everyone says they want to do but never do, which is build a ecosystem around.
Like the Lions.
Yes, and then be ready to drop a quarterback in there. I mean, I just don't see how their life is any different if they draft Cam Ward or if they roll with the whole year of, you know, pick a random journeyman quarterback.
Andy Dalton, whoever it might be. Yeah, I wonder how they'll approach it. The Lions have a plan. Now, they didn't draft the quarterback. They traded their franchise legend, if you want to give Stafford that acclaim as a Lion, for a guy whose value was down, who not a lot of people thought was going to be a good quarterback again. Jared Goff. So how will the Browns approach it? Will they decide, we don't like this quarterback draft anyway, we are going to strengthen all the other units that we can, and then maybe in 2026 go get a quarterback? We will see. But what we do know is Deshaun Watson, ruptured Achilles, done for another year. And look, you may not believe in curses, whether it be sports-related or to one individual. But if there was an example of a curse being laid on someone for past alleged misdeeds, whether you think it's the Browns or Watson, this would be an example to confirm that, if you do believe that is possible. Because ain't nothing going right for the Browns pretty much their entire existence, at least in the modern era. But ain't nothing going right since that move was made. Their biggest moment was Joe Flacco. And then that ended with an ass kicking by the Texans in the playoffs. That's the best the Browns have been since they made that acquisition.
Freddie Kitchens' interim year.
Well, that was before the acquisition.
Since the acquisition.
But as far as moments for them, it was the Joe Flacco stretch.
Yeah.
And it ended with two pick sixes and a playoff loss. We will see what they do coming up here. Pena, you want to talk about the Texas game? If anyone else wants to talk about really anything, you can. 713-780-3776. Hour one done. We'll get to hour two when we come back.
This is ESPN 97.5.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No.